Well, hello. Hello, everyone. Hello, Charleston. So good to see you guys. I don't actually see you. You see me. But what an incredible weekend. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being at the Fields Church, everyone. We're one church, two locations. And so we're so glad that we can all be listening to God's word and growing together. We may not be in the same room today, but we are one church. And so thank you, guys. Hello in Charleston. So good to see you guys. Did we not have an incredible weekend? I just want to do a little bragging on you guys and Matt Toon in Charleston. We're able to take all of us and begin to serve in both communities in Charleston and across Matt Toon and in several groups, several different serving projects. And that's who we are. We are for our neighbors, and we're wanting to literally go out and serve and be the hands and feet of Jesus. And you were able to do that yesterday. And so, in fact, we have just a little bit of just some footage. So you guys, if you weren't able to be there and see some of that, I want you guys to see a little bit of what took place yesterday. Let's watch this. Wonderful. Isn't that wonderful what people are doing, what you guys are doing, and for us to literally just go and be the church in the community and be for our neighbors? And so, again, thank you. Thank you. If you couldn't do it, it doesn't mean we just serve once a year. There's a lot of serving opportunities. You need to go to your guide, go to the fields.guide, and you can click on I want to serve. And if you want to serve in different areas, we are not just a one weekend kind of a service church. Like, we want to be serving all the time. Part of our core values is making a difference. And so go ahead and find a place to serve on a regular basis. And if you saw the footage and it's like, I really wanted to do that, well, you know, hey, sign up next year. You know, we want to serve in our community on those big occasions, but we also want to serve regularly too. So if you want to serve around here and anywhere, go to your guide and just click I want to serve. Let's get into the teaching today. I'm just so glad that we're in this series called Marvel. The whole idea of Marvel is that you and I study the book of Mark and we marvel at the life of Jesus to dive into it. I'm going to tell you, Pastor Tim and Pastor Christian just did an amazing job getting us up to this week. And my family, we were on vacation. And even when we're on vacation, I'm studying the book of Mark with you. I'm reading the book of Mark because the life of Jesus is amazing. And I marvel at Jesus. I marvel at the life of Jesus, because when you open up the pages of Scripture and begin to read and study and observe and realize who Jesus is, you know, he's going to impact your life in a brand new way, in a way that you've never dreamed of, because we are inviting him into our life, and it's amazing. And I wanted you to know that just because our family goes on vacation doesn't mean we step out of our relationship with God. We were in church, and we were reading our Bibles, and we are reading in the book of Mark too. So good stuff, great stuff. I hope you're enjoying Mark. I hope it's something new for you to just like read through and just read through this book, and we're reading through it together. If you remember a few weeks ago, we taught you like how can we read our Bibles in a very real, practical way that we get something from this. And we said there's this analogy that spells SOAP, S-O-A-P, and the SOAP stands for Scripture. The first thing you do is open up and begin to read the Scripture. Begin to read. Today we're going through Mark 4. You would begin to read chapter 4 of Mark. And then you get your pen or take notes on your phone and you observe what's taking place and what was that like, and imagine it in your mind, picture it in your mind. What was the tone of the occasion? Who was there? What was the atmosphere like? You're observing what you're reading, and then you begin to ask God, what am I supposed to do with this? If this is so important that it's in Scripture, why is this for me, God? And you begin to apply it. You begin to live this out. And the way you do that is you do the last step here is pray. As you literally pray through Scripture, you begin to talk to God and say, God, what am I supposed to do with this? How is this supposed to change me? And you begin to talk to God about what you're reading. And what you're doing is you're asking the Holy Spirit to enlighten you. Literally just like the light bulb would come on, the light bulb of clarity would come on, and you begin to understand. And that happens when we pray. It happens when we invite the Holy Spirit into our time of reading God's word, and we say, speak to us, Spirit. Speak to us. Help us understand what we're reading. So today we're making it all the way into Mark chapter 4. And if you need to know a little bit of history of Mark, you can go back and listen to the other and watch the other messages online. And Pastor Tim, Pastor Christian explained a lot of that. I want to jump right in to Mark chapter 4 and explain what's taking place. The crowds at this point are gathering in and really following Jesus. You're seeing there's healings and there's miracles. And now all of a sudden the word is getting out and there is quite the buzz of Jesus. And people, you know, they don't have phones, they don't have internet, they're not Snapchatting any of this stuff. Word of mouth is getting out about Jesus. And the next thing you know, everyone's asking, where is he at? And they're finding him. And these crowds are coming in, literally pressing in on him to find out more and to see more. And especially because of the healings, they want to be healed. They want to be a part of these miracles. Interesting enough, Jesus knows this, and he's strategic too. So he begins to plan where he is teaching, where he can teach to the masses and teach to the crowds. And he finds himself near a lake. And there's times where he knows the crowd is coming in. So he gets to the shore of the lake. And as the crowd comes in, he drifts off into a boat to create a little bit of distance between him and the crowd so he can communicate clearly to everyone that is there. I love that. It's just strategic. The position was important. His tool of being able to speak to them is important. And he's doing this with complete intentionality so he can communicate. In fact, if you go back to Mark chapter 3, verse 7, and it says this, that Jesus went out to the lake to the disciples, and a large crowd followed him. They came from all over Galilee, Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and from the east of the Jordan River, even from the far north as Tyre and Sidon. The news about his miracles had spread far and wide, and vast numbers of people came to see him. So he's on the side of this mountain, and all of these people come in. Now, why is this important? Why do I say that? Why do I set this up and help us understand this? I want us to understand the motivation of the crowd coming in was he was healing people, and there was miracles, and it was supernatural, and they wanted to see all of that, and they wanted to be a part of that. They wanted to receive all that. But even though he knew they were coming in for that, he wanted to teach them what they needed to know for life, and he wanted to tell them truth from God's word and stories, and he taught them. He taught them by telling them all these different stories. These stories are called the parables. Another word of a parable is a story of comparison, where he's telling a story where then they can, in their mind, compare that to a godly truth. And so he begins to tell these large crowds these stories. And what's interesting is not just their motivation of you know, the miracles, but the fact that Jesus gathers them all up. He takes this time to teach them what they need to hear, not just what they want to receive. And so now remember, this crowd is gathering in, and they're pushing in. And they're wanting healed, and they're wanting miracles, and they're wanting this. And Jesus starts to tell them about a story of a farmer and some seeds. Now listen, throughout the rest of this message, if there's anything we get from this, I want us to understand this. Seeds may be small, but the outcome can be enormous. And Jesus is trying to help them. The seeds that go into you, the seeds of reality, the seeds of potential, the seeds of God's kingdom, the power of God, it might start off somewhat small, but trust me, it can become enormous. And he starts to teach them this. Now remember, they're wanting this miracle, and they're gathering in. He's drifted out on this boat. And you could just sense, why are you drifting away? We want to touch you. We want you to touch us. We want you to pray for us. We want you to lay your hands on us and heal us and pray for my baby, pray for my sister, pray for my spouse. And he drifts away a little bit on a boat so he can create some distance so he can teach them. And he says, listen, listen. And then he starts to tell them this story. He goes, there's a farmer. He went out to plant some seed. Now think about this. They're like, I thought you were going to heal more people, Jesus. And he's just like, listen, there's a farmer who wants to plant some seed. And as he scattered it across the field, he says, some of the seed fell on a footpath, a hard path, and birds came and snatched it up. Other seed fell on some soil that was over some rock. There's only just a little bit of soil, and underneath that was really hard rock. Now that seed began to grow up, but then it quickly died because the roots couldn't get deep down in there. He says, and then there's another seed that fell, but it began to grow, but there were some thorns and thorn bushes and weeds, and that seed began to grow up, but all the thorns crowded it out, and the next thing you know, it choked out the tender plants to produce the grain. And then Jesus says, and then there was some other soil, and some other seed got into really good soil, into some fertile soil, and now that seed, that took hold, and that began to grow, and it produced a crop that was 30, 60, 100 times as much as the seed was. And then he says this, if you have ears to hear that story, you need to listen and understand. Now remember the setting. It's like, heal us, Jesus. We want miracles. Who is this master teacher? Who is this healer? Who is this prophet? And he drifts back in a boat and starts telling them about a farmer who's planting some seed. Even the disciples were a little confused. And it says literally later in chapter 4 and verse 10, it says like, they're like, what, Jesus, like, what's that all about? What was that story about planting seed? Like, why are you telling us this? And so he had to then explain, this is what it means. And so now he grabs the small circle of people, the disciples. And it reminds me, it's like the importance of small groups. And this is why we try to move from rows to circles. Like being in the big group is great. Being in a big crowd is great. But you get yourself in a circle of people, you can ask deeper questions. That's why groups are so important here at the Fields Churches, because we want you in a circle of people where you can say why. You can start to say, what's this mean? And I need to share with you something that I'm not going to share in the big group. That's why growth track is so important. It's coming up. You know, week one's not too far away. We need you to be in growth track where you can get into a smaller circle and you say, what's my purpose? What am I supposed to do here? And so the disciples, after the big crowd is done and the teaching of the crowd is done, the disciples come in that small circle and they say, Jesus, what's this about? And I want us to understand this today, because this is where we have to understand this. He begins to explain it again. He begins to say, okay, I'll tell you what this was about. And this is where, if you have your Bibles, we're going to open up Mark chapter 4. I've setting it up, but now we're going to look at the verses from here on where he explains it. Even in verse 14, he says, the farmer plants the seed by taking God's word to others. He's like, let me help you understand the story, the parable. It's a comparison. The seed is God's word. And so he's like, the farmer is planting seed like you and I are to plant God's word, and how the Father God is planting God's word in us. He's like, so don't worry about, don't think of it as seed anymore that's going to grow plants. Think about it as kingdom seed that's going to grow people, and you're going to be spiritually strong. And then he talks about four types of soil. And four types of soil, in comparison with parable, is four types of people. And I would venture out to say it's really four types of hearts. And I think that all of us in this room, we fall in one of these categories. In fact, personally, myself, I've been in all four of these categories. In different seasons and ages of my life, I have found myself having a heart that is similar to each one of these areas that Jesus begins to talk about. I've had different soil conditions. And my prayer is that today you identify where you're at and you realize where you need to be. So he explains. The first one he explains is the person who has the hard heart. The hard heart, he says, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. Have you ever tried planting grass on the sidewalk? Like, it doesn't work. It's too hard. There's nothing there. The wind can blow it away. The birds can take it away. The lawnmower mowing down the, you know, the little breeze from the lawnmower can whoosh that. You can't plant grass on concrete. It just doesn't work. And he's like, this is like throwing seed on a footpath that's pressed down. It's very hard, and it can get snatched away. And what happens is there's people in life, they have such a hard heart that there isn't even a connection. Like, God's word just bounces off. Like, they're not open to it. I remember walking the streets of San Francisco. I led a team, a missions trip to San Francisco, and we were down in the streets of San Francisco, and we were living on the streets of San Francisco. And I remember walking, we were talking to some of the homeless people. We were talking to some of the young 20s and addicts and people who chose to be homeless. And I'm telling you what, just to be really transparent and honest, they were hard-hearted guys that, like, a little intimidating to talk to because they were not looking for hope. They weren't looking for anything. And then we try to engage in conversation with them, and we would talk about Jesus and maybe share a verse or ask if we could pray for him. And it was a hard footpath. It was like planting grass on a sidewalk. It wasn't going to happen because they had a hard heart. And it's not just, it wasn't just San Francisco and homeless people. I remember talking to some of my professors at Eastern, and I was, you know, kind of a young, fervent Christian at college, and I was wanting to share my faith with some of my professors, and I was a columnist for the newspaper, and I write columns about Jesus and about spiritual things, and I would ask some of my professors, hey, did you read my column today in the newspaper? And they had nothing, they don't want nothing to do with it, because it's just bouncing right off, and Jesus is telling this. Now remember, I'm going back to the setting, because we got to observe this. The crowd has gathered in to receive a miracle or healing or to see something from Jesus. And Jesus is saying, some of you out there, you need me and you need the life and the word of God in you, but you got a hard heart. And it's just gonna bounce right off. And Satan has manipulated you. And the skepticism that Satan has created in your heart, you're not even willing to listen. Or maybe Satan has deceived us so much and manipulated us so much that there's not an ounce in us that wants to even consider that what this Bible is saying is true. The hard heart. Jesus continues and goes, and then there's the seed could go into something that I would call the shallow heart. He says, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or as persecuted for believing God's word. These are people who, they got soil, maybe an inch of soil, or 2 inches of soil, and that soil then is laying on top of all rock, a bedrock of rock. And there's no roots going down. And what happens is someone gets really excited about something spiritual. taken a lot of teams on missions trips. I've taken a lot of students in my years of ministry to camps and conferences and retreats. And there's always those people that go and they get, oh, that was awesome. What a weekend. That Saturday mountaintop experience was awesome. And they get home and they go right back to what they're doing. And they go from high, spiritual high, to they topple over. Because they didn't have no, it's like a tree who has no roots. And when the storms come, it just falls right over. I've seen that in teenagers at camp. I've seen teenagers at Momentum. I've seen teenagers on a mission trip. I've seen that with adults at retreats. I've seen that with adults that I've led on mission trips, that they have these amazing spiritual moments, but when they get home, they don't continue to invest in who God is, and they don't put God's word in their life, and the next thing you know, they don't grow roots anywhere, and the first temptation, the first storm, the first wind that blows in their life, it knocks them right back to where they're at. And Jesus says that's a shallow heart. That's someone who gets excited at first, but because they won't allow themselves to grow deep roots, they're eventually going to topple over. You know some people in your life, you might be struggling in that area right now, that you have these spiritual highs and then it just falls apart. Oh, a spiritual high and then it falls apart. It's because we need to get the roots down. We have to get the roots down. Jesus has a third category of people that I would call the crowded heart. He says the seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, by the lure of wealth and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. These people, they love Jesus, but they also love a lot of other stuff. And what happens is they don't create dedicated heart, dedicated space for Jesus. They're like, okay, I'll have a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of Friday night. And it's all in there together. And when we try to love Jesus and love a lot of other things, and there's this competition for the dedication of our heart toward God, and other things are competing for our time and our attention and our devotion, when that happens, it's like the seed that falls in the thorns. It gets crowded out. Jesus is crowded out of our life. Come on now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I was a freshman at Eastern, and when I was that freshman over at EIU, I had this experience. I loved Jesus, and I was in it, but he was crowded out of my life by being a first-year college student. Freedom, bar entry age, easy to get into, all these parties, all these opportunities. I was filling my life with other things and Jesus. I was teaching Sunday school, guys. I was teaching Sunday school on a Sunday morning, but living differently on Friday and Saturday night because I was just crowding everything in. The thorns was killing the seed that wanted to grow up into my life. And some of us in the room, that's where you're at today. Is you love Jesus, but you also love a lot of other things, and they just don't cohabitate well together because there's not space. Jesus needs your whole heart, not just a sliver of it, not just an hour on Sunday of it. He needs you to grow. And so Jesus is talking to this big crowd, and he's like, and some of you guys are just like in the middle of thorns. And then he says, and then there's a fourth crowd of people, and he calls it the fertile heart, the good soil. And he says, and the seed that fell on the good soil represents those who hear it, and accept God's word. They bring it in, and they produce a harvest of 30 or 60 or even 100 times as much as had been planted. These are the people who are reading God's word and bringing God into their life, and they're accepting him for who he is, the Son of God. And his word is truth, and they're fully dedicated, fully integrated into being a Christian and a follower of Jesus. It's good soil. They are doing, not just reading. They're not just reading their Bible to check it off a list. Like, oh, I read my Bible today, check. No, they're reading and doing and applying. They're not just being here. They're not just sitting. They're becoming. They're becoming who God wants them to become. They're not just sitting on a Sunday. They're becoming who God wants them to become. They're good soil. Now remember, the crowd was wanting miracles, and Jesus drifts out in a boat a little bit and says, you need more than just a miracle. You need to understand the story of a farmer in casting out the seed and planting the seed, because you are a soil type. That's what he's trying to tell them. And if you really want to grow, then you have to understand who you are. So that's why he starts telling them these stories. And then once the seed finds that good soil that Jesus is encouraging everyone to move into, don't be shallow, don't, you know, all that, just be good soil, be good fertile soil. He goes, once we establish ourselves as good fertile soil, then God can do just incredible work in our life. And then he goes and he tells another seed story. Like Mark chapter 4 is like the chapter of seed stories. So he tells another seed story. He says this. He says, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. He just told a story about a farmer throwing out seed on the ground, but he tells it again. And this time, this is seed that goes into good soil. And he says, night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happened. So he just knows that he put the seed out, it went into good soil, this seed comes to life and it begins to grow. And he's like, I'm not sure how this happens, but it does. The earth produces the crops on its own. This is just the way the world works. And then he says this, first the leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it. Harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. I love the fact that he's talking about all these soil types. Then he gets down to says, you need to be good soil. And then he says, now this seed that gets into good soil, there's a process. And you're in the middle of it. You and I, we call it seasons of life. And the first season that he talks about is the breakthrough. Who doesn't want a breakthrough? Who doesn't want to have the breakthrough experience from bad to good, from ugly to this is starting to look pretty beautiful in my life, and from what seems to be dead is now coming to life? Who doesn't want a breakthrough? But you need to understand, for the breakthrough to happen, the dead, dried up seed was buried in the ground in something that was dark and cold and no light, and it was invisible, and it was wrapped up in a hard shell of a dead seed that was dried up and had been there for a long time. And in the middle of this seed going down under the ground, dark, dead, lifeless, unseen, and buried. Anybody in the room feels buried? Anybody feel like, man, I'm just buried with stuff? It's when they're buried and it seems so dark. Like, Google this. How a seed works. There's this covering around the shell, around the seed, and when the right kind of moisture and soil and the temperature and the sunlight, when that all begins to happen and it interacts with the shell of the seed, the shell of the seed has been created by God to say it's time to engage life. And then on the inside of the seed, it begins to grow. In fact, it begins to split the shell open underground. The shell begins to open up underground and then sprouts out this tiny little sprout of life that eventually the first leaf bursts through the ground out into what now we can see above the soil. It's the breakthrough. I want you to know, before you can have the breakthrough, a lot of times we're buried and it's dark and it's dreary and we don't know if there's anybody around us. But the next thing you know, because we're in the right place at the right time, we've positioned ourselves to be around God, around his presence, we're inviting the sun to interact with us, and then there's life. Then there's life. So he tells the story of this seed. It breaks through, the first leaf breaks through, and then there's wheat. Then there's a head of grain, and what I would call then is there's signs of life. The signs of life is now, after the breakthrough, good things are happening. God is working. And there's evidence of growth. And all of a sudden, you know, something is growing and can be big. Now, I know we're in the middle of a Marvel series, and we've actually wrapped some of this into the actual Marvel movies and stuff. I don't know if you've ever seen Guardians of the Galaxy, but there's this, and even a couple other of the Marvel shows, but there's this character called Groot. Groot, which rhymes with root, is like this tree-like creature who's big and massive and strong. And in fact, let's just take a look at him. This is Groot. Yeah, so I'm telling you, he's like massive, and he can just, the vines come out, and then, you know, I am Groot. You know, it's awesome, just awesome. But the thing is that this big, powerful creature-like tree thing, they don't always start out massive and big. Like these big, big things sometimes happen kind of small. In fact, take a look at this. Maybe, just maybe he started out as a little sapling. Maybe instead of big, mean, ugly Groot, maybe he just ended up starting out as something kind of cute like this. So, big, big things can happen really small. And I know all you Marvel nerds and geeks out there are going to email me and tell me a little bit more about the history of Groot and whatever. But whatever, I'm just telling you what, things that are big can start out kind of small, like a seed. But what happens eventually is the harvest happens. The harvest happens. We go from the breakthrough to signs of life to the harvest. And in the harvest, we get to experience God at work. We get to experience the good things of taking place in God. We get to see these amazing things. And that's why Jesus tells the story in front of this big crowd of a farmer planting seed. Because he knows the potential of everyone who's in the crowd. Some of them are dry and dead, but man, they can be fertile soil. Some of them are really shallow right now, but they can grow great roots. Some of them are as hard as a rock and they're just scriptures bouncing off of them, but he knows the potential of them being good soil. And I'm telling you, everyone in this room, everyone in that room, the potential of you being good soil. And that's why Jesus tells the story. And then he has a third story of a seed. And he says this, "How can I describe the kingdom of God?" Jesus says. "What story should I use to illustrate it? It's like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches and birds can make nests in the shade." It's the very end of the chapter 4 of Mark. He starts to say, this seed that I'm talking about, the seed that's got such impact, you know, can make such an impact in your life. He's like, the seed is like this little mustard seed. You know, if you guys in Charleston, if you are some of the people who started with us, you remember me telling the story and having the little seed in my hand and saying, who knows what God's going to do? I still believe that with all of us today. Who knows what God's going to do in your life and in your location and in our community? Who knows what God's going to do when we just remember that the seed that God has put in us can explode into something great and powerful? Because Jesus tells a story to this group of people leaning in, wanting healed and wanting miracles. He's like, wait a minute. First, make sure that our heart is right. And let's make sure that we're prepared and ready to take in God's word and to change. And sometimes it starts out small. Because remember, seeds may seem small, but the impact and the outcome can be enormous. And right now in your life, you're like, I don't have a lot going on. Doesn't matter. What God can do right now, even in our own little limited vision, can be enormous. God can do great things. So back to us today. Are we good soil? Are we needing to receive God's word on a regular way? We need to make sure that we are putting God's word in our life. Are you allowing the seed of truth to shape you and to guide you? Do you today need a breakthrough out of your darkness? Do you need to let God grow and do something amazing in your life? You just got to have that faith that right now it seems dormant, but right around the corner is God's miracle. And something that is dormant can grow and produce so much fruit. It all starts small. If I was to wrap this up today, I would say first thing we need to do is consume God's word. You and I, we need to just be taken in God's word because we need to plant those seeds of truth in our life. We need to be good soil. And then not only do we consume God's word, but then the second thing we need is we need to live God's word. We need to live it out. And when you and I begin to live and walk in the way of God's word and doing things that God would instruct us to do and being who God wants us to be, then what you're going to see is you're going to be transformed. You're going to see real transformation take place from the inside out in your life. But it all starts with you positioning yourself to be good soil and allowing God in your life, the seed of the kingdom of God in your life, where it can begin to grow and grow and grow. Transformation can take place. Something that's dead and so tiny can come to life. That's why at the Fields Church we say all the time, we are a life-giving church. Things that appear dead can grow into something big and beautiful. And that can be your life. Your life. God's kingdom is life-giving, and we get the opportunity to be a part of it. Be good soil. Follow Jesus, be completely transformed by him. Today, maybe you've come in and you want that. You want to grow. You want to be transformed. You want to be good soil. The very first step for you then is just to know God and to be a part of his family. Because for us to grow closer to God, we have to know him first. And so that's my encouragement to us in the room, that we don't even have a real relationship with God. If you've come in and walked in here today and you don't have a real relationship with God, the first thing you do today is just invite him into your life. In fact, close your eyes with me. Close your eyes and think about this for a moment. Do I have a real relationship with God? I know you have a desire to grow and a desire to be transformed. But do you have a real relationship with God? Because right now, we're going to pray for that. Let's pray right now.